And if you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul begins this chapter, chapter 9, by asking the question, am I not an apostle? So that kind of brings up an important question, what is an apostle? The word apostle means sent one. So in one respect, we know, we who know Jesus Christ, we're all apostles, we're all sent ones. All those who love Jesus have been sent out into a world that does not know Jesus. They might know of him, but they don't know him in terms of having a personal relationship with the Lord. You know, more and more people today hardly recognize his name. So all of us who know Jesus are sent ones. Jesus said, so send I you. He was talking to the disciples, but really that address goes out to all of us. God has sent us into a world that desperately needs the Lord Jesus Christ. However, the word apostle, as used in the New Testament, identifies those men who were disciples of Jesus, who after Jesus' death and resurrection were commissioned by the risen Lord to go and make disciples of all men. They were indeed sent out. There were 12 men who were sent out initially. Later, an additional one was chosen in Acts chapter 1. So these 12 men were the original 12, the 12 apostles. But there was another one that was added. And you, I'm sure, may know the story of Saul of Tarsus. He was a young man, an up-and-coming rabbi, and he radically opposed Jesus. But one day, even as Paul, well, he was first known as Saul, even as Saul was on his way to Damascus, rounding up people that knew the Lord, he was going to persecute them, he was going to punish them, and on that road trip, Jesus appeared to Paul. And he ultimately became a vibrant witness for Jesus Christ and became known as the Apostle Paul, a sent one with a commission. And as an apostle of Jesus Christ, Paul started many churches. He wrote at least 13 different epistles. Now, I say all of that, you know, most of you are familiar, very familiar with Apostle Paul. But during his lifetime, it was not easy for the great apostle. There were people that did not like him. There were even people that he was instrumental in leading to the Lord that started controversy about him. And that's what we're going to get into a little bit this morning. Paul asks this question, am I not an apostle? So here in chapter 9, Paul is really, in a sense, changed subjects. He has started in chapter 8 talking about idolatry. He has some important things to say about idolatry. Specifically, what he's talking about in chapter 8 are those who have sort of, you might say, figured it out. They figured out, first of all, that there is no such thing as an idol. An idol is nothing. And because it's nothing, that means that the things that are sacrificed to idols, they're nothing as well. And mostly what was sacrificed to idols was meat. And as we pointed out last week, part of that meat was actually burned before the idol. Then there was a part that came back to the person that was giving the meat. And then thirdly, a portion of that meat went to the priest. And because the priest got an overwhelming abundance of meat, he would give it to the temple store, and the temple store would sell it at a healthy discount. So these Christians in Corinth that figured it out, so to speak, figured out that idols were nothing, they were taking advantage of the price differential, the low price to buy you know, this meat that was dedicated to idol, and they said it was dedicated to a big nothing, and so we're going to enjoy. And Paul has some things to say to these people, and yet he switches subjects. I say he switches subjects because he's going to come back to idolatry in chapter 10, but as he begins chapter 9, he is somewhat suddenly talking about the rights of an apostle. And Paul has a purpose for doing that. And I'm just going to tell you that what he is, what Paul is going to do in this chapter is, even as he has asked them in chapter 8 to let go of their right to eat meat sacrificed to an idol, and I've just explained to you that these folks that were doing that figured, man, this is a great deal. We can eat this meat, and because idols are nothing, it's not going to hurt anything. And Paul is saying, wait a minute, you know, there are people that don't get it. They don't understand the nature of idols. They understand that Jesus is Lord. They've committed their lives to the Lord, but they're still a little bit hazy on this whole question of idolatry. And you know what? We need to win these people. And the way we need to win these people is to, to humble ourselves, so to speak, and reach them at the level that they're at. Rather than say, you people, you're dumb. You should know that, meat sacrificed to idols, there's no such thing. You should figure that out. Now, Paul says, no, we need to patiently reach them. And Paul is saying, in effect, what he's going to tell us in chapter 9 is that I have rights as an apostle. But even though I have rights, I am going to forego some of those rights because I want to make sure that people understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and nothing gets in their way from hearing the gospel. You say nothing gets in the way. Well, Paul was concerned that if people knew that he was being paid to share the gospel, that particularly in Corinth. Now, Paul didn't always do this, but in Corinth, he said, I'm not going to get paid. Now, as an apostle, it was his quote-unquote right to be paid. In fact, Jesus, in fact, instilled that in the apostles. They were to share the gospel, and those that they shared with were to support them. And Paul says, you know, that's a good thing. And I don't say that that's not a good thing. It's just not a good thing for me in this place. And so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to forego that right. Now, in verse 11, it says, if we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? That's the essence of what we're talking about right now. I've ministered to you, and my goodness, it took Paul 18 months in Corinth. Now, Paul was an apostle that traveled throughout that Mediterranean region. He went from country to country. He started churches. He not only started them, but he encouraged the people. Even after the church was started, he would write letters to them. He would go to a church. He would appoint elders and get the church established. And then he would go to another location and start another church. But here in Corinth, he really had his work cut out for him. It was hard. He was there for 18 months, and in that 18 months, there was a lot of spiritual warfare. And then even when the church was established, there were people in that church that sort of turned on Paul. And they said, well, you're not really an apostle. And So it was very hard on people, on Paul the apostle, and that's why he begins this whole chapter by saying, "Am I not an apostle?" You know, I might not be an apostle to other places, but I'm definitely an apostle here. In fact, he says in verse 2, "If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal." That word seal, that's an impressive word. You remember they sealed the tomb of Jesus. They said, man, you mess with this seal, you're breaking the law. You're putting your life at risk. A seal is an authoritarian indication. And Paul is saying, man, you're the authority of my apostleship in the Lord. He tells them, listen, well, look at verse 12. It says, if others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right. Now, Paul has begun this chapter. I didn't read all of the different things that he says are rights of an apostle. He says them because they're true, and he's reminding the people of that. But he says in verse 12, nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, here we really see the heart of Paul. Whether he was paid or not paid, it really didn't matter to Paul. What mattered was the work of the gospel. Was it more effective for the gospel if Paul should receive support? Then he received support. But if it wasn't effective for the gospel, then Paul would support himself. What mattered was that the gospel not be hindered in any way. So Paul was willing to deny himself such an important right for the good of the gospel and the Corinthian Christians. Now, in saying that, he's kind of saying back to these folks that are eating this idol meat, maybe you should reconsider the eating of this meat. I know it's okay. I know it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you spiritually. It might hurt you physically, but definitely will not have no effect on you spiritually. But for the sake of those that don't quite understand yet, could you forego this right and instead humble yourself and work with these Christians? They're Christians, but they're new Christians, and you really should forego your right to eat this meat. Now, let me just say, you and I may never be faced with the same decision that Paul faced. Probably not, because who worships idols in the West, here in the United States, here in other countries, in this part of civilization? We don't worship idols anymore. So this thing is sort of an issue that is effective for us to teach a lesson, but we don't worship idols. However, there will be times when you must forego a right in order to promote the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, we come here on Sunday, and we, in effect, forego several rights, you might say, that we have as individual citizens. We don't have to come to church. I suppose somebody could even propose the argument that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. It sure is helpful. It will sure cause us to grow. I mean, you can accept the Lord and sort of maintain some kind of godly relationship, and I suppose you'll make it to heaven. But we're not just called to go to heaven. We're called to reap the rewards of serving God here on planet Earth. Now, there are going to be times where we will have to forego certain rights in order to serve the Lord. You know, our light for Jesus must shine all the time. We're always to be a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think some of us that are growing and want to be the person that God has called us to be, we consider that. We think about that. In fact, sometimes at night when we're going to bed, we pray and we say, Lord, I didn't really represent you the way that you wanted to be represented. And I pray that you would forgive me, and I pray that you would give me another opportunity to let my light shine. You know, if you are in that that place where you're growing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're looking for opportunities to not just grow, but a part of growing is sharing. You know, if you learn something and, you know, it makes, you figure it out, you say, well, you know, I need to be doing that. Well, you do it. And a big part of doing the Christian life, being the Christian that God has called you to be, is when you're out and about, you're thinking about how you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're thinking about how you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that you know, that you see all the time. You're going to be somewhat careful in how you do that. You're not going to say the same thing every time, but you are thinking, you know, I want this person to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want this person to be a brother or sister in Christ. And you're thinking and praying, asking the Lord, Lord, how can I share with them? How can I? But you're also around people who don't know the Lord at all. Maybe you're sitting next to somebody on a bus, and that person seems to be open to the Lord, and you're suddenly sharing the Lord with them, or you're there's all kinds of opportunities for you to share the gospel if you are open to it and called we're all called, but, you know, God specifically stirs us in situations where, you know, you kind of snap out of the mindset that you're in. You know, you're thinking about how you're going to finish the rest of the day off, and the Lord says, hey, that person right over there, they're open. You need to say something that will turn that person's attention to the Lord. And as we do that, you know, we grow in our ability to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the point I make is the same point that Paul was making. He was making that point to people who were, you know, eating their meat, eating their idol meat. That wasn't really an idol meat. It was just a good deal that they got. And, you know, apparently some of them were thinking, oh, those people that don't understand this, they just need to figure it out. Rather than sitting down with them and helping them come to that conclusion that, idols don't exist. They are just a figment of our imagination. But in order to do that, some people had to stop eating idol meat for a while. And so, too, are you called to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and to forbear things that you would ordinarily do, but you can't do, you won't do, so that the gospel can be shared clearly and concisely with the people that God has placed in your life, whether they be people that you know, people that you don't know. So Paul sort of brings this home in the closing passage of this chapter. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but each receives, but one receives the prize. Now, the background of this illustration that Paul is giving stems from the fact that in Corinth they had a yearly thing they called the Isthmus Games, and it was second only to the ancient Olympics. It was a big, big deal. And a lot of people would watch these people, these contestants, run the course. And Paul is using that as an illustration. And he says, do you know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. So he's taking that race and he's using it as a means of showing people how they need to live their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to run. I want you to run the course that you're on and run the race that is before you. And I want you to run it in such a way that you're going to win, because only the one that wins gets the prize. And I want you to get the prize. Now, what Paul, I believe, is saying is that, you know, it's one thing to run. You can run the Lakewood 5K, you know, and wear a T-shirt that says, I ran the 5K. And people say, oh, you ran the 5K, that's great, you know. They don't know that you, you know, finished an hour behind every contestant that ran. You just ran it, and you know, people commend you for that. But the person that has won the race, he didn't just wake up that morning and think, "Well, I think I'll go out and give that a try." Man, he worked out. he did all that he could do to establish the fact that he was going to win the race. And to win the race is not just a matter of getting ready for the event the day before. You spend weeks getting in shape. And Paul says, listen, I want you to do that. I want you to know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. So you run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. What does that mean? It means that if you're gonna win that thing, if you're going to go out and win, it means that there are some things that you can lawfully do. It's okay to do them, but not if you're going to win the race. You're going to have to forego that. You can't do everything that you are legally entitled to do, because you've got to get in shape. You've got to be ready for that race. And to be ready for that race means that there are some things that you are going to have to forego. And Paul says, you know what you're running for? He says, you're running for an imperishable crown. That had to be a bit of an irony, because the people that ran in these races, they ran for these little crowns that they put on their head that were made out of live branches. And, you know, pretty soon that crown would begin to fade. It really wouldn't last very long. The crown that you're running for is an imperishable crown. You're going to be given that crown, and that crown is going to be a part of your heavenly adornment. I don't know what that crown is going to look like, but I know that when we get there, there are five crowns that you can attain in this life, and he's talking about one of them, and you're going to be proud of that crown. You're going to have a godly sense of, wow, I did it. But I think as we wear that crown, we'll recognize that I may have won it, but I only won it because God helped me to win it. We'll have that kind of attitude. In fact, the Bible talks about casting our crowns at his feet. Paul says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline. That word discipline, it's really kind of a light word in terms of the actual meaning of the word. The word goes a little bit deeper than our idea of discipline. I mean, discipline is a great thing, but this is a very serious discipline. He says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He's saying, I do these things to win the race. I don't want to be disqualified. Now, disqualified doesn't mean that you lose your salvation. It just means that you lose your reward. Rewards are important. I mean, we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior because of the agony that he experienced at the cross. He did that so that our sins could be forgiven. We will go to heaven, but there are rewards. And Paul is saying those rewards are important. But if you want a reward, there are rights that you have, even as a Christian, that you're going to have to lay aside. There are opportunities that you will have that you'll have to forego because you're thinking, this is the most important. You know, I'm not going to get the crown in this life, but I'm going to have that crown when I receive it for all eternity. And eternity counts. I need to focus on the things that are most important. You know, it's interesting that Jesus told us himself that if we focus on him, if we make him our major focus, the other things that we have to do, that we need to do, will be accomplished. He'll be faithful to help us, but we need to seek him first. We need to seek him first, his kingdom, his righteousness. And if we do those things, the Bible says all these things will be added to you. Some of them will be added in this life, but there'll be other things that we'll wait for. And maybe it'll seem like a long time waiting. For those of you that are younger, you think, oh man, I don't know if I can wait that long. But I'll tell you, eternity. You put eternity in the equation. And this time here on earth, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's eternity that matters. And Paul is saying that in this prelude to eternity, it's important. It's important that we understand that a part of our growth is reaching out to other people and sharing with them the good news of Jesus Christ, and then praying and looking for opportunities for them to ask you questions. And then, you know, when they receive the Lord, to be there to answer more questions. We're called to do that. And as we do that, God is going to be faithful. He's going to remember everything we did. You know, things you've forgotten, God remembers. He's faithful. So, Paul starts out, chapter 8, talks about idolatry. Then in chapter 9, he says, we have rights as an apostle, but you know what? I'm going to forego some of those rights so that I can be the person that effectively leads someone to the Lord. You know, he says, I'll just read this to you really quick. He says, I want to reach everyone that I can reach. He says in verse 20, to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews, to those who are under the law, is under the law, that I might win those who are under the law, to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, maybe you're not able to become all things to all men. That was Paul's life. That was what it was all about. You know, he would go to a town, and if they supported him, fine. If they didn't, that was fine too. He figured out a way to pay for his lodging and his food as he spent his time reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might not be able to do that, but you can reach one. You can reach two or three, and that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to start right where we're at, but understand that accepting the Lord and saying, okay, I'm a Christian now, I can do what I please, that might get you into heaven, but it's not going to cause you to attain to the place that God has for you in heaven and the rewards that God has for you in heaven. And I'll tell you, in these desperate times, and we are living in desperate times, all of us, every one of us, need to be men and women who are looking for opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to whoever he puts in our path. And Father, we thank you for this word to us this morning from the Apostle Paul. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be sent ones as well. Jesus, you have sent us into a hurting world. And part of that pain is just the fact that people don't know you. And they're doing the wrong things. And they're going to spend eternity separated from you forever. Now, Lord, I know that you have put on the hearts of at least some people here in this sanctuary, people that don't know you, but they don't know you, but they know people here who are praying for them and looking for opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless those people that are doing that very thing. And then for those that are just, they're a Christian, but that's about all. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them even now, even this morning, and get us on the right path. Because one day, we're going to stand before you. And I pray that, Lord, when we do that, we would be able to say, Lord, I put you first. Maybe not every single day, but Lord, that's where I was going. That's what I sought to do. Lord, we need to seek you first. And as we seek you first, you will give us opportunity to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord speak to each one of us. Us. I put myself in that category. We all are busy. We all have things that we have to do. And some of us were just busy because we have to be busy. But don't get too busy that you forget the thing that matters most for eternity. Don't get too busy that you fail to share the love of Jesus Christ with those around you. God bless you.
In awe of the one who gave it all, I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. All I am is yours. All I am is yours.
All right, you guys all have a blessed week.